Oh, sorry I'm late, lad. Look, I even completely forgot to bring my jacket. It's here, man. I've been dealing with this bloody secret cooking society. Can you believe it?
Yep.
They've kicked me from the bloody society. They said that I kept spilling the beans.
Wow. Crazy.
Stupid. Anyways, what have you got for
sorry
me?
Sorry about that. 60 quid, 10 minutes.
What have you got?
Well, I'm taking you back.
Where are you taking me?
I'm taking you back. I'm talking like 60 years. Charles Sobro...
60 years is a long time, brother.
Yeah, it is. This is when your dad was cutting about. Charles Sobrage, a French fraudster, thief, and murderer.
It is. This guy's story is pretty mental. BBC did a series around it. It was called The Serpent.
Yeah.
And my mum actually recommended it to me.
Wow.
And then I didn't watch it.
Your mum probably knew him. Because he was called the Bikini Killer.
Right. Okay. Also known as the Splitting Killer. And then most notably, the Serpent. Fucking hell, that's class, that, Chip. All right. Talk to me, Chip. Where was he born?
Now, Sobrage was born in Saigon. His father was Indian and his mother was Vietnamese. A little bit of a nice mix up there.
Mm.
His father was not allowed to see him. Didn't get to be a father in the end. Yeah. Parents were never married. Sobrage was taken in by his mother's new husband though, but didn't feel like quite accepted because he thought that they preferred the later
kids.
Children, you know, yeah. the children they had down the line. So he felt a bit of an outcast. Same thing with me, really.
Really? Do you
I
feel
know,
like an
I
outcast?
Know they love my little sister more than me. And then he moved between Southeast Asia and France. Can't blame him, really.
I mean, look, both of those places are better than here, so works for me. Right, now, his first jail sentence actually came in the form of burglary. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? And this happened in 1963. Mm. And he served time in a prison near Paris. And what happened was he actually managed to convince. Now, this guy was a bit of a talker, right? He could convince and persuade people very, very well. He managed to do that by having the officials in the prison granting him special favors. He was allowed to keep books in his cell, you know, things like that. He would get away with small things that usually most prisoners wouldn't. Now, once he got out of prison, he started mixing around with some of the higher people in society in Paris and also the criminal underworld,
yeah.
Which sounds quite exciting.
I've been
know.
There.
Yeah? Yeah? What was that like?
You want to get it.
Okay, anyways, he made money via burglaries and scams where he met someone called Chantal. Ooh. Right, okay, interesting.
Chantal Jeffries?
No, this was in 1963 and around those times. So I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't think she was around. Neither was Instagram back in that day, so she definitely wasn't around. He started to date this Chantal lady, and on the day he was supposed to propose to her, he ends up getting arrested. Ooh. What a nightmare. Could you imagine all the excitement of proposing to the woman of your dreams, and you get nicked? On that day. And what was he nicked for? He was nicked for driving a stolen vehicle.
Wow.
But nevertheless, after spending some time in prison, they still got married. True love, Chip.
That's a dub.
Now the love story continues because in 1970, they both left France and they decided to evade arrest by heading over to Asia. They traveled through Eastern Europe with fake documents. Lovely. And again, He was performing burglaries, right? He was robbing people on his way. When they arrived in Mumbai, Chantal gave birth to their child. Oh, now that is lovely, isn't
it? Beautiful. I open my arms for this child.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, Sobrage continued despite having a bad criminal record and despite now having his kid, you would think, okay, I'm gonna turn my life around for my child.
Yeah.
No, that's not what happened. Things just get even worse because he continues to do this criminal activity mainly to actually fund his gambling addiction.
Being
right?
There, man.
It's tough.
When you hit that blackjack table, it gets tough.
It does, mate. It can be pretty brutal.
Now we got to fast forward to 1973. Ooh. Tell them what happened in 1973, Chip.
Well, that was 21 years before Don Kreins was actually born. Anyway, yeah. He was arrested after an unsuccessful armed robbery attempt at a jewelry store. Can't blame him.
I'm not going to lie. For a criminal that has had this much experience going in and out of jail, he sure does get caught a lot.
Well, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter because, anyway, Chantal actually helped him escape by faking an illness.
Okay.
Don't know how that's worked, but it's worked.
Maybe it's one of those where he's gone, oh, I feel really ill, you need to take me to, like, the jail hospital, and then from the jail hospital he's managed to...
Well, they both just sat there with a spoon scooping out underneath the toilet. Doesn't matter, because he was recaptured very shortly.
Oh, right, okay.
He did end up borrowing money from his father for bail, and then they fled to Kabul.
Kabul,
capital and the largest city of Afghanistan.
Do you have any plans to head there?
Not anytime soon, but I've heard the weather's nice.
Well, look, as nice as the weather might have been, unfortunately, it didn't last very long because, of course, Sobhraj has a problem. And that problem is that he began to rob tourists on something known as the hippie trail.
Damn.
Okay? And yeah, he got arrested for that again. But this guy is a repeat offender because, once again, he fakes illness and he manages to get out
it's
again.
Like, you know, when you're at school and you just go to the office and you're like, oh, miss, I'm sick.
Yeah.
It's complete cap.
Super cap.
Head against the radiator.
That's a good one. Get that temperature up.
It's a tactic. I know people are going to be using that now.
Anyways, after he escapes this time, he flees to Iran, right? And this is where, you know, Sobhraj, he was a bit of a naughty man, right? Because guess what? He leaves his baby daughter and Chantal
behind, and both the mum and the daughter end up returning to France,
and they want nothing to do with Sobhraj. They've had enough.
No, you can take the criminal away from the crime, but you can't take the crime away from the criminal. I tried, and that is what matters.
No. Anyways, look, over the next 2 years, he was constantly on the run, okay? He used about 10 different stolen passports. And not only that, but he links up in Istanbul with his half-brother, Andre.
Ooh,
okay,
didn't know he had
and
a
guess
half-brother.
What? They became criminal partners. Crime. Now him and his half brother, they got down and dirty in Greece and Turkey. But of course, in true Sobhraj fashion, he was arrested again. And this time, he left his half brother behind.
Okay.
He said, "Look, I'm escaping because this guy just somehow manages to escape every bloody jail prison that he gets to. Lord knows how he does it, but he does it, right?" And his half-brother, Andre, was turned into the Turkish police and had to serve an 18-year sentence. His
Damn.
Life is a wrap. Anyways,
my boy Sobhraj was a hustler.
It gets pretty serious from now. So far, we've just had, I don't want to call it petty crime, but the guy was just robbing, right? He was just doing thievery. So now it's time to talk about some of the mad shit that went on. Murder.
Now, while Sobhraj was in India, he met a lady named Marie, mm-hmm. who became a bit of an accomplice. She turned a blind eye to his criminal activity, and he formed a team.
Ooh, yeah. Put together a squad, did he?
Yeah, it's like the Avengers of the fraudsters.
Okay.
Yeah, so it consisted of himself, Marie, and then a second-in-command called Ajay Chowdhury, yeah. So, you know,
you
something like that. Now, Sobhraj used to gain people's trust by helping them out of difficult, tricky situations,
okay.
You know, coming across as the nice guy. For example, there was a time where two police officers were trying to find missing passports. Sobhraj comes along, helps them find the missing passports. What a nice gentleman. But all along, it was Sobhraj who had the passports. It was a ruse, a
con. This guy's elite, man.
He was a slippery. They do call him a serpent anyway. Sobhraj and Ajay committed their first known murders in 1975. First victim was a woman from Seattle, called Teresa Knowlton, who drowned in Thailand wearing a flowered bikini. And I guess that's where he gets the name from, the Bikini Killer.
Ah, yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing to do with your mother in the end.
Thank you for that clarification, Chip.
Just had to let you know. Only months later did the autopsy actually show that she was murdered by drowning.
Okay, so it wasn't just like, oh, she couldn't swim and she drowned. It was like, no, this was actually a murder that happened.
Mm-hmm. So it took quite a while for them to figure that out.
Now, it's important to note that almost in all of these murders, right, and all the murders that he committed, what he would do is he would poison the individuals, but then he would nurse them back to health. So, that would do, like, imagine I poison you, right? Or you don't know that I poison you. You got poisoned.
Yep.
And then I'm there, like, let me make you better, like, blah, blah, blah. You'd trust me.
I'd appreciate that a lot.
You would like me. And that's exactly what he did to his victims. What's important to note is that he wouldn't let them leave his apartment. And he lived on, like, the top floor.
A penthouse.
Yeah, man. He had a little gaff. And this was in Bangkok, in Thailand. Now, another victim, Vitali Hakim's burnt body, was found on the road near where Subraj was actually based, right? We have the burnt body, okay? And obviously, the burnt body was there. This time, the victim, right, his girlfriend, goes searching for him. Where is he? Can't find him, blah, blah, blah. Comes out, and the only way Subraj knows how to deal with it is to kill her. And the way he does that is exactly the same fashion in which he killed the Teresa lady in the bikini. And again, this is the bikini
killer. So he drowned her.
Yeah, so he drowned her. Very similar to how that Teresa lady died. Not only that, but then the two people that he was actually nursing in his own makeshift hospital, he ends up killing both of them as well.
If Charmaine just kept her mouth shut, they might have...
They might have got away with it. Yeah, exactly. But they were both killed by being strangled and burned as well.
Damn.
So, look, like, he had a bit of an MO here. It was a very... He would kill the people in very similar ways. If you guys are going on holiday, then you need to know the basics, right? And the basics, you can definitely learn over on Babbel. Now, they do it in 15-minute lessons, which is absolutely ideal. Because whether you're just jumping on the tube, you can quickly fire that up. A little commute, maybe you're heading to uni, whatever it is, you're on your lunch break. It is perfect, right? And they design courses with practical real-world conversations in mind. So you don't learn the useless stuff, right? Let's be honest. You'll want to know the actual stuff that's going to be able to work for you when you are abroad. All right. Now, Babbel's teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective across multiple studies. Okay. Babbel's available as an app or online, and it will also sync your progress. So if you're on the app and you take a few classes, do a few lessons, then it'll also sync across the next time you're on your laptop. Mm-hmm. It'll also be perfect. So you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Not only that, but it's key to get your pronunciation right or your accent, whatever it is. So what Babbel have done is they've got a speech recognition technology which helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. So start your new language learning journey with Babbel. And if you guys want a 6-month subscription, so you buy the 6 months and you'll actually get 6 months free if you use the promo code MYSTERIES. What's the promo code, Chip?
MYSTERIES.
Exactly. And so if you want to take advantage of that, you go to uk.babbel.com/play and use the promo code MYSTERIES. That's uk.babbel.com/play and use the promo code MYSTERIES. Don't tell no one. We don't sort you lot out. On the 18th of December, those two bodies, the ones that they killed, they burned and strangled. Mm-hmm. They were found and identified, right? But on that exact same day, Subraj and Marie actually entered Nepal, right, using both of their passports. So it's a bit twisted, I'm not gonna lie. Well, it's actually very twisted, right? Anyways, let's go forward a couple of days. Now, between the 21st and 22nd of December, they murdered Lawrence Carrier, who was 26, and also Connie Jo Bronzich, who was 29. They are racking up a tally here. Yep. It is not looking
serious
good at
numbers.
All. Subraj and Marie decide to return back to Thailand from Nepal. And this is where people started to raise their eyebrows. People started to suspect him. Now, after this, people aren't really too sure, but he either went to a place called
Varanasi
or Calcutta, where he murdered someone called Avoni Jacob. From there, the squad, the team that he put together, so consisting of Subraj, Marie, and AJ, right? They traveled to Bangkok, and there they were interrogated by Thai police, right? In connection with these murders. But they were released. They almost had him. But they just...
There wasn't enough to arrest him.
Enter a Dutch diplomat with a very unique name, Nippenberg.
Herman Nippenberg.
Yeah. Anyway, he started to build a case against Subraj with the help of Subraj's neighbors. Now, a month after Subraj left the country, the police actually gave Nippenberg permission to search Subraj's apartment. He enters the apartment.
What do they find, Chip?
He finds serious stuff. He finds passports of the victims, documents, poisons, syringes, all stuff that are tying him to these murders. They're going to crack on him. Subraj is done out here.
Finished.
So the three of them then jetted off to Malaysia, where Ajay actually delivered gems to Subraj. So they've gone into the gem business now.
Oh, that's a sign, Chip. We need to get into the gem business.
That is the fire alarm, if you can hear it. But that will not stop me from solving this case right here and right now. And Ajay was actually never seen again. They are actually still searching for him to this day.
Hmm. So this is what I'm saying. Is he still alive? Is he under a different name? Is he dead and the body's really well hidden?
I mean, he's going to be pretty old by now anyway. So it takes another turn. Subraj has then committed another murder.
His tally is mad.
A Frenchman named Jean-Luc Solomon.
Okay.
Probably butchered that, but I tried my best.
Anyways, he's jumped onto moved away from like the Southeast Asia stuff, and now he's moving on to the French. Right?
Yeah.
And it's dangerous territory at this point, right? Because in 1976, he tricked an entire tour group of French postgraduate students and convinced them, I am a tour guide. Come on a tour with me.
What a hustle,
right?
Man.
This next bit is nuts, right? He manages to drug them all and they quickly became unconscious. Right? Three of the students actually realized what was going on here. Seeing all your friends just slowly become unconscious must be a surreal feeling. What they did was they quickly contacted the police, which then immediately led to his arrest. After being arrested, he was then charged with the murder of Solomon. Great work, French police. We love to see it. Surely he can't do any more damage.
No way.
But Subraj and his pesky little gems, he managed to sneak them into the jail. And because of that, because he had stuff of value, he was able to live very comfortably in jail. And his whole trial, the whole trial around the murder, was actually one big performance. Like, he made such a big deal out of it, right? He would literally hire and fire lawyers easily. He actually brought in his half-brother Andre to assist him, and then he ends up going on a hunger strike.
In prison?
Yes. He goes. But the good news is, he was still sentenced to 12 years in prison. Now, look, for murder, you might think he deserved more, but it is what it is. That's what we'd be left with, right? Now, Marie, remember Marie?
Yes.
She was found guilty of drugging the French students, but was actually paroled and sent back to Canada, to Quebec, where she was from, right? And look, some would say karma got her, but she ended up developing ovarian cancer. She died in April 1984 when she was only 38.
Whoa.
Subraj then ended up giving interviews to lots of different reporters about the murders and had talked so freely about the whole thing. But then later on, denied that he ever said anything. I'm sorry, mate, but look, you've said what you've said. You can't just pretend they didn't happen, right?
It's just what he does.
Subraj's prison sentence in India was due to end before the 20-year Thai statute of limitations expired,
mm-hmm.
right? We've talked about the statute of limitations many times on here.
Yep.
If you don't know what it is by now, just Google it, right? Now, what's important to know is that if he gets out before that 20-year statute of limitations, then he can end up being done by the Thai police, which would almost mean he's certainly going to be executed. So he needs to find a way to stay in prison for essentially another 10 years.
Wow.
And this was his plan. This is nuts, by the way. He's in prison. Subraj throws a big party for his guards, his fellow inmates, and he ends up drugging them with sleeping pills and just walked out of the jail. How nuts is that?
This man a hustler.
The good news is, right, they managed to get a hold of him, right? And they captured him in a restaurant in Goa, right? And chucked him back into jail. And he ended up getting his prison term extended by the 10 years that he needed. He needed those 10 years, right? And that's exactly the way it played out. On the 17th of February, 1997, after Don Crimes was born.
Yes.
52-year-old Subraj was released And at this point, most of the warrants, the witnesses, the evidence, it was long lost, right? Most of it was gone. And without any country to extradite him to, the Indian authorities let him return to France. Because at this point, the Thai statute of limitations, that was gone. He couldn't be done for that now. Mental. In Paris, he charged huge sums of money for interviews.
Can't blame him. Get that bread up.
Get your money up, right? But this is the nuts one for me. He wanted to sell the rights of his life story to a movie company that wanted to make a movie on it. And they were sold for over $15 million. In 2003, he decides to return to Nepal, one of only a handful of countries where he could actually still be arrested. The arrogance this guy has. I mean, he surely knows this, right? And he still decides to go back to Nepal.
What a moron.
Yeah, but is it just pure arrogance? He's thinking, oh, it was so long ago, they'll never get me. Even if they arrest me, they won't be able to charge me, all this sort of stuff. And a lot of people say it was just a massive, like, attention-seeking sort of stunt that he pulled off. Anyways, the Himalayan Times. Sounds really cool, that does. The Himalayan Times stated that he had actually gone back to Nepal to set up a mineral water business. Are you telling me Subraj has really turned a corner here? He's trying to do legal business, Chip?
I respect that. This is where Evian came from.
Whilst he was gambling in a casino, the Nepalese police raided the casino and, of course, arrested Subraj. They reopened the double murder case that we spoke about earlier on in 1975, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment by the Kathmandu District Court on the 20th of August 2004 for the murders of Bronzich and Kareri. Kareri? Anyways.
We got
him. They got him. I mean, it's a combination of arrogance and complete stupidity to go back to Nepal. Anyways, look, remember that Dutch diplomat? He was the one that presented the evidence. His work finally paid
Herman.
Off.
Herman.
Exactly.
My man Herman.
Exactly. Now, July 2010, life sentence was issued for obviously both of the murders and for entering Nepal illegally. His properties were also ordered to be seized by the court. He remains in jail currently. He's in poor health, supposedly. He's currently 77 years old, right? And like we said, guys, there have been books written about this man. And most importantly, and most notably, is the BBC series produced called The Serpent. So if you guys want to check that out, I'd highly recommend it. My mum recommends it, and that's all you need, really. So, Chip, what do they need to do?
Hit that subscribe button. You can follow us on Spotify as well. If you can't catch a video, you can listen to the show and also turn on them notifications because we'll be back next Monday, 6 p.m. with another case, one that you're going to like.
Mm-mm-mm.
Goodbye.